Welcome to The Forum, the program that educates, motivates, and advocates on behalf of our listeners. The Forum is sponsored by OSF Healthcare, and we are continuing our conversation with the president of the Peoria Park Board, Robert Johnson. Robert Johnson recently met with Peoria Mayor Rita Ali and Police Chief Eric Echevarria. The meeting came after Echevarria advised the Park District to shut down the July 3rd Glen Oak Park fireworks event. Johnson wants to keep the event going, although he acknowledged police are challenged when they try to secure big events. Case in point, the Super Bowl victory parade in Kansas City, where there were 800 officers out, but not enough to prevent deadly gun violence.
Actually, we brought that point up too, actually, in that meeting we had earlier.
So it's kind of like the question would be, will the NFL cancel the Super Bowl parade if the Chiefs win again next year?
Well, I would hope not, because they had this incident this year. I mean, that would hurt a lot of people in that city, in Kansas City, would suffer. But for them to cancel the NFL, they win again the third time, never been done. A pro football team do that, and you're going to cancel the parade for people to enjoy that? I have a problem with that.
So you're looking at, let's do something about safeguarding it, making it safe, versus throwing in the towel.
Throwing in the towel, right. Let's get at it. Let's look at this. Let's figure out why we got these problems, and let's cover ourselves up. Let's not let, you know, I don't want to say...
A few people?
Yeah, a few people cause this thing, but some people say, you know, the
criminal element
is there, so to speak. The criminal element is there, but we need to clean that criminal element up. You know, it's kind of like letting inmates rule the yard.
So let's
not everybody's an inmate or nothing, but
right. But let's not let the criminal element
dictate to us, control us, run us out of our space, and they take over. They run it. That's not. They can't have that. This society can't live like that. Other countries don't have that. The Chinese, even African countries, you know, they don't play like that. Even though they might be, I don't know if they're communist or socialist countries or whatever, but you have to be in control. We have a democracy here, and the people always have been the ones that spoke, and the people should always continue to be the one that speak and be heard, and we the one pay the taxes, and so I don't think that we should not be subject to that. You know, even people live in neighborhoods that they move out because so much violence and nobody want to come and deal with that. I got a sore on my arm and it's getting bigger and bigger, but I'm not going to worry with it. I'm just going to cover it up, put a Band-Aid over it. I got this other arm over here. It's working pretty good. Ain't nothing wrong with that, but this is steadily getting bigger and bigger. I'm still looking at it. It's getting worse and worse and worse, and then next thing you know, it's going to be gone. We can't continue to live like that. We had to deal with this, and our children need to understand that. We love our kids. I raised 4 kids, you know, on the South Side, and I have 17 grandchildren, 4 great-grand. And what's their future going to be like? You know, we just can't continue to live like that. We got to deal with that crime. It's got to be dealt with. Now, if mom, dad, you know, we can't tell parents what to do with their children and everything, but there's going to be some, you know, you got to have some accountability. You do something out here now, it's you're gonna get. There got to be some, you know, you gonna have to pay some dues or you. Things come with that territory. Peoria Park District and, you know, the city of Peoria, all anyone, you know, we want, you know, feel like you're safe. We gotta have that safe environment, and we all suffer if we don't. We really do. They had 13 people here in Peoria 4 years ago get shot down on the riverfront. 13 and one. In one instance, and their hands injured, and they had to deal with that on the riverfront. They swooped down, got it taken care of. They sort of have these pop parties popping up everywhere then and during the COVID time. So that could happen anytime. It doesn't have to be on the 3rd of July, but it could happen anywhere. But because the crowds was gathering like that during that time frame, and they feel like everybody's out, they were enjoying themselves, relaxing. Families are all out and then lawns and the yards getting ready, little barbecues is going, little parties in different parts of the community. Everybody's in a good, festive holiday mood. But then you got those individuals that want to cause havoc. And this is the problem that we're concerning about and talking about. So we're trying to figure out some ways to do this event differently this year. If we continue, because right now we got surveys out for the community. We got a youth survey out for them to sign and fill in also as well.
Yeah, talk to me about the survey. So what's involved with that?
I should have bought a copy of it. But the survey just asks questions. Do you want this? Do you want to see the 3rd of July again? Would you attend? How many people in your family? What do you do after the 3rd of July? What is the 3rd of July like before? What are you doing before the fireworks start? Questions like that. And then we get one for the youth. I don't know what some of the youth questions are. Would you like to see some events going on before we start the fireworks? Would you come? Would you participate? Would you not like to see, you know, events doing? Would you like for it to stop? Would you like for us not to end and put something else there doing that?
So what would you do with this information? Who's getting this survey and when would you like it
back? We're sending the survey out in that community for those people that live there, that live around that park. We're starting there first because that's the very piece where he's saying his numbers are up and crime and things of that nature. So we started there around the Glen Oak Park area. So we get those back hopefully by the end of this month. Then we'll evaluate and look at it. The board will go over it and we'll see what we want to do.
When are you going to vote? I'm hearing that a vote on whether you continue it or not will take place sometime in April.
Yeah, probably April, late March, April, before we take a vote. We have to be ready to go ahead and get fireworks prepared. You know, we already got the budget for it. Get things started. If we're going to do it, then we're going to start getting prepared to do it, or we're not going to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's going to be the people that dictate to us as to how we should do this or how we should go about it. The police has agreed to help us, irregardless of which way that we go. You know, he's a very strong proponent for the Park District. He want to help. He talks about the Park District in great ways. But I just don't want the community to think that Glen Oak Park is dangerous. I don't want that fear monger out there. You know, when you say, you show on the TV a video about a car with a bullet hole in it, it didn't happen around Glen Oak Park. It was somewhere else, maybe, but you put that in the media. Or even sometimes I said it about Proctor Center. It might have happened over there on Western, but there was a shooting near Proctor Center. You know, those type of things. That's what gets me. Or there was a shooting near Glen Oak Park or near True End Park. Or we found, you know, Bradley. You know, they always use parks and stuff as references. So it's like there wasn't an event going on when the gentleman got shot down in Martin Luther King Park a while back. You know, those are some of the things that we deal with, and our society throughout the country is doing that. And Pierce shouldn't get the reputation of having the highest level of violence per capita than New York and Chicago and Los Angeles. Our crime rate shouldn't be as high as theirs. They're much, much bigger, but per capita, we are. And that has to change. That narrative has got to change. We cannot keep putting our heads in the sand. As I said to you before, the steamboat days, a nice event we had on the river. Only thing they did, you know, we had the fair and the little cotton candy and the families all came out and people was happy. But then certain elements come down and got to fighting. You know, they was fighting, pushing, shoving. Several fights broke out year after year. So then now it's gone. All they got was the race there now. Now, round one at the mall. A lot of people don't even want to go out to the mall anymore. Northwest Mall. Citizens don't want to go there because they're afraid that all of the problems that they're having with the crime, the fights. You know, this has got to stop. And we getting all these dollars that's coming in, and we still got these problems. Now the money is there, resources there. There's all kind of resources for these young people to do. Believe me. All these social service agencies that's doing these here, nonprofits, everybody's putting there, writing grants, getting money for to help the children, to help the community and different things, and those that didn't get the money, the city's putting out this money. Now, why I'm not seeing the results? Why is the data still going up? And we got all these resources.
So you just had a meeting with the chief of police, the mayor, and yourself. Is there anything out of that meeting that you can tell us about?
Well, yeah, it was a positive meeting. It really was. It was a great meeting. And we came to some understanding. I mean, like I said, I understand his position as a police officer, and he rants and raved really well about our park district. They both did, and they do a hard work. They have a, you know, they want to go home at night too, just like everybody else. So we get it. But yeah, we're just trying to figure out. He said whatever way we go, they would be supportive of us, whether we do it or whether we not, that he would be there and they would supply us and help us whatever way that we decide to do. So that leaves us to figure out, we can't do what we did last year, that's for sure. Now the board has to figure out, when we get all our surveys back, we'll have another community meeting with the residents again, and we're going to go from there to see what the community tells us to do.
But as we put a wrap on this conversation, what I'm hearing you say, and you tell me, am I paraphrasing too much?
Yes.
What I'm hearing you say is that when you have an event, if you have violence at the event, you don't want people to shut down the event. You want the community to deal with the violence.
That quickness, because that affects our community as a whole. It really does. When you start doing that and start getting that type of reputation in our city, then people don't want to move here. If they're looking to move here, if a company want to build a business here, bring a business here, a park district does a great work. I mean, we're the largest park district in Illinois and the oldest. We provide a lot of amenities for families. You know, that's just one event of many. We have a lot of events on the riverfront. We have things going on in our trails. We have 9,000 square miles of trails. Parks in this city. We have ice skating. We're getting ready to also look at a major roller rink, bringing it into town. We're going to invest in that also as well. So we got a lot of amenities. I don't want that to hurt our brand.
And I remember, and you remember as well, Carl Cannon with Elite.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one of the first major projects that he did with Elite was, I want to say, Steamboat Days.
Yeah, they probably did go down there and help out. Holy Family out there on Sterling is another one. They're gone too now because of the violence. They did. They helped out. He went down there and helped out. And they made a difference in that event. And he been out to the fair also as well. He took a lot of gentlemen out there a couple years before the fair, and that squelled some things. But then, you know, gentlemen.
So you want to see more of that kind of thing?
I want to see that kind of thing because the community is getting involved. And like you said, I talked with some of the other gentlemen. They're putting guys back out in the, you know, inside the bowl. It's very good. You go inside the fireworks. You're comfortable. You're sharing sandwiches and people talking and laughing. When you get outside the fence, everybody's telling them there's a different environment out there. But they're all, but the families that live in the area, I'll give you one perfect example. Yesterday, or Wednesday night, I talked with a family that live right there. So I go door to door, just like when I ran for office. I go door to door. I talk with a family. The parking lot where the fireworks is, are you familiar with where the playground is, that parking lot right there? Well, their house is sitting right there. You walk out of their house, they're right in the parking lot. And she's 84 years old. She's got an oxygen tank, and she had the tube on her nose. And her husband's, you know, he's 86. Couldn't tell anybody looking at him. But so I asked them. I sit there for a good hour talking with them about you and I having this conversation. Well, what do you think about the? She said, Mr. Johnson, I can't go downtown, as you can see. Even if I did, I wouldn't want to go down. I don't want to get in that traffic. I can sit right here and see everything. Yeah, I see the cars be parked there. Sometimes I let people park in my driveway so they don't have to go so far. I let them, though. I give them permission. They don't just do it. And we sit out here, me and my husband and our dog, and we watch the fireworks. But yeah, we're here. But Mr. Johnson, there's shootings up here, too, when there is no fireworks. We still got that problem. There's kids and running and stabbing. We hear gunshots all the time up in this way. And we don't like it. We've called the police. We've talked to our councilman. But they're still here. But we do enjoy this event. And when there is no 4th of July, 3rd of July, you have the band there from the municipal band. And we like listen to them also as well. You have a lot of events here. Sometimes we'll go out and sit. If I fill up to them, I'll walk over, you know, by the zoo, because that's right there at them. She said, we enjoy all the amenities. And some of my neighbors do too. Then I had another lady that she said she wished it all go. You throw paper down, you're throwing all this stuff down, and right, I like to see it go. So,
yeah. All right, so we're going to put the wraps on that conversation. We are going to encourage our listeners, if you get a survey, fill it out, give your honest opinion about what you would like.
Yes, please do.
And the park board is going to take that information and use that to base their decision on with regard to the 3rd of July fireworks. All right, let's shift gears a little bit and talk about something very positive, because you just got an award. You won the Commissioner Community Service Award, which is an award given by the Illinois Association of Park Districts. So let me just put that in perspective for our listeners. So we're in the state of Illinois. We got cities like Chicago, Springfield, Decatur, Galesburg, Bloomington, you name it, Peoria, all over the state. And there is such an organization, the Illinois Association of Park Districts, and they have recognized you for your outstanding service. How do you feel about that?
I was surprised. We went to the conference every year, and it is an award from the gentleman by the name of Mike Cassidy. He's dead now, but he stood for Helping Ones Community. He's from Freeport, Illinois. He did a lot of business as a volunteer commissioner for the park districts that he worked for, that he served. And it's a very coveted award. And for those of us that's in the park and rec, commissioners, basically, and trustees, it's very coveted. And when I was sitting there waiting on the awards luncheon, I was just like we do every year, just talking.
So you didn't know you were going to get it?
No, I did not. No. My name got called at this big old screen up there on both sides. My picture was there and everything that we did in the park district, all the work and stuff I did over the years. It was all listed up there. It was all up there for everybody to see. I was kind of like, oh, wow. I didn't know what to say. But I thank God. And but we do this. And we do this without pay. And we work and we try to make our communities better for all. And it was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah. What are two or three things that you are most proud of since you came on the park board in, 1995?
Yeah, 95. Well, the main piece that we had was the pool at John Glenn. It was getting ready to get closed. And we put a brand new state-of-the-art pool there. And I was able to get the name changed to honor John Glenn, because I knew John Glenn. I worked when I first came, on the board. He was still living. And, had some conversations. But then he had died, so those type of things, getting Treewind Park, bringing a lot of things up on the south side that was neglected, so to speak, and getting those things changed around, and also increasing the diversity in the park district was another piece, and letting business owners, business people, women, and minorities can do business, procurement contracts. That was important to me as well. So I think I felt good for those type of things. And bringing in the, starting Soul Fest, for the community, African American community, as well as the Hispanic community. We have a event for them, Culture Fest for them, India. We started that. Of course, your normal Oktoberfest and the Irish Fest. So the art. So we got a lot. Peer Partners does a lot. A lot of people look to us. They really do. They call us for advice. I also started a DEI committee. Also. Just hired a young lady for there. We on my watch. So we're trying to do a lot of things. We made some changes in some of our parks. We put new equipment down at Carver Center. Treewind Park has been great. We got new facility things there, new outdoor, recreation shelter, a new basketball court and everything. And we're bringing some things on. Morton Square, we put a new kind of like a semi-concert stage there. New equipment, swings and stuff. And we're working over in West Peoria. Get ready to make some changes over there. So it's a lot.
It is a lot. It is a lot.
Got the trail started.
Yeah, and you should be proud of what you've accomplished. Now, I got one thing to ask you. The tennis at, Gwynn Park?
That's gone.
Is it ever going to come back?
No, it was never used. Yeah. No, it won't come back. Unless the people say, I can't say it won't never come back. But there was a reason why I was taking. We made gardens out of it, showing people how to, showing kids how to do environmental things with it, with that piece. But yeah, it'd be great. But kids now can play tennis at Bradley Park. We can come to Brigley and Oak Park as well if they want to do that. And we got some young people that know how to play golf now. I'm really amazed that they picked it up and they learned it. And they got exposed soccer. They can get scholarships to go to college on soccer. But I was really surprised by inner city kids and how they adapt to things so quick. Ice skating, you know, we're finna bring a roller rink in this Peoria now. And then we're gonna work, you know, with the, they got a major water spray park down in Harrison Home there by Harrison School. Well, it's not Harrison School now, but yeah. Allen. Down there now, you know, trying to work with them and clear up some, you know, help some of the things there and help some of the people on the south side. So we got a lot going on, and we really want to continue to work. And Pure has a great partner. Everybody envy us. They really do.
All right, Robert Johnson, I've been asking you a lot of questions. Anything that you wanted to impart that we didn't talk about?
Well, no, just that I like the people to participate, especially those of, you know, just come to your park district. Look at some of the things. Don't be afraid to come. And we have a lot of volunteer opportunities, a lot of jobs going to be opened up for the summer for the kids. There's a lot of things going on now. And just get, you know, we got a website. Also, you can go on Facebook. Get involved. It's not hard. And you'll see there's a lot of things to do in Peoria. It really is. Our kids shouldn't have no problem finding something to do in Peoria.
All right.
All right.
Robert Johnson, president of the Peoria Park Board. Hey, thanks.
Thank you.
Also stopping by our studio this week, poet, entertainer, DJ, animation artist, you name it, Donna Olstein. You just have a book of poetry that's coming out just in time for Valentine's Day.
This is correct.
How are you?
I'm fine. How you doing?
I'm good. It's always a pleasure to see you because whenever we see Donna, we know that she's bringing positivity, which we need nowadays. So, Power Pack of Love.
Yes.
That's the name of it. Tell me about the title.
Power Pack of Love is more like, you know, if you're lacking in love, please do more than you usually do, day by day, second by the minute. So that's what we're encouraging people to do more so than the hate, the jealous, the heartaches, and the pain.
Mm-hmm. So people, when they get into a bad mood or a depression, you're saying so the solution is not to wallow in the negativity.
Correct.
Is to do something positive, bring yourself out of it.
That's what I had to do. I mean, I had anger just like anyone else, but I took my positivity and my art and put it in poetry.
Now, your poetry, I'm looking through the book and looking through some of the titles. I'm going to just look at three of them, and then you tell me what the poem is about. This is very intriguing to me. My Butterfly of Glued Feathers.
That's a butterfly that feels like it's trapped in a jar. And we fixed the feather so it could finish flying.
I love that. That's a good metaphor. All right, here's one. Beef on the street.
Beef on the street, we're tired of that. So we want people to clear their minds and be more healthy on their actions. And help save somebody. Mm. Help heal somebody. Help be real to somebody.
Yeah.
So that's where we at with that.
Beef on the street. All right, last one. Pain beneath the skin.
Things you hide. Things you want to talk about, but who would really care? Who would really listen? And then find a solution to free somebody's soul, free somebody's mind, and free somebody's spirit.
Last time I talked to you in depth, we were talking about how if everybody did something positive and loving, that the world will be a better place.
Yes, it will.
And you still believe that, even though when, as you know, I'm a news person, I look up at the news, deal in the news, and every day there's just a ton of negativity out there in the world. You're saying you still have hope people, if they get in touch with their hearts, that they can express love and we can start turning
some of
this
stuff
around. Not
just get in touch with your heart. You gotta talk to God. He got us here. He got all of us here. And I believe that you trust in him, he'll trust you to do the right things because he's going to have your back.
All right. All right. Power Pack of Love by Donna Olstein. How do we get this?
Amazon. It's on Amazon. Or you can get in touch with me, themostentertainment@gmail.com.
And when you say the most,
D-A-Most. Yes, entertainment. That's the email. So you can look me up And go ahead and do what you have to do to understand this book. We got shout outs to different ones in the book. And then grab the book and you'll see who's inside. You never know. It might be you.
There you go. Power Pack of Love by Donna Olsteen. Available on Amazon, or you can get in contact with her just in time for Valentine's Day, spreading the love. Donna, always a pleasure to see you.
You too.
You've been listening to The Forum on WPNV. The Forum is sponsored by OSF Healthcare. The Forum airs at 10 a.m. on Saturday and is rebroadcast at 7 p.m. Sunday. We want to leave you with a quote from novelist Alice Walker, who said, "The most common way people give up their power is by thinking they don't have any." Thanks for listening.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking, time for thinking ahead.